is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This past June, escalating tensions between Israel and Iran erupted into an all-out war. Over the course of 12 days, Israel bombed targets related to Iran's nuclear program and assassinated scientists. Iran launched retaliatory airstrikes on Israel, and the U.S. carried out bunker-busting airstrikes on key Iranian nuclear facilities. There's been some controversy, though, about how effective the U.S. attack has been and whether it was necessary, but now we're finding out a lot more. Using rare on-the-ground access in Iran, in-depth forensic analysis, Frontline, The Washington Post, Evidence Media, and Bellicat have conducted an immersive, independent investigation of Iran's nuclear program in the aftermath of those strikes. PBS's documentary series Frontline has produced Strike on Iran, The Nuclear Question. It aired last night on PBS stations, but it's now available to watch online on Frontline's YouTube channel, and you can also stream it at pbs.org/frontline and on the PBS app. We're joined by Sebastian Walker. He's producer for Frontline. He produced Strike on Iran, The Nuclear Question, and he was the boots on the ground during this incredible reporting. Sebastian, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How important was it for you to actually be in Iran, getting eyes on where these bombs fell?
Well, I mean, extremely important. I think that really is the value that you can have by being in the place where the story took place is huge. The access that we've managed to get was extremely rare. I mean, I've reported from Iran in the past, and it's always challenging for journalists to work there. It's not an easy place to get access to. But we did manage to get a team on the ground and were able to travel quite extensively around the country to different sites where the bombs fell. We were able to go to the sites where the scientists were assassinated, film what that looked like, and talk to people who witnessed those incidents. And we teamed up, as you said, with the Washington Post, Evident Media, and Bellingcat to try to do a kind of more in-depth visual investigation of the impact of these actions. We were really trying to get to the bottom of how much this has set back Iran's nuclear program. And it's a pretty kind of comprehensive look. Some of the most in-depth accounts so far of these strikes on the ground, and combined with that visual investigation, it's a pretty dynamic story.
President Trump gave his assessment. He said that Iran's nuclear program was totally obliterated. And there's been some pushback on whether or not that is actually true. Your investigation is independent. And so I think that gives it a lot more weight. So what about that Trump's assessment, totally obliterated, and the importance of having independent journalists doing this incredibly difficult work?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the big question, right? Like, to what extent were these strikes successful in pushing Iran's nuclear program back? And it's very hard to get an accurate answer to that question without getting access to the bombed sites. Now, the Iranians have really made it very difficult for people to get a clear vision of that. The UN inspectors have not been allowed to return to those sites. The inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency have not been allowed into those places. So it's really hard to kind of measure that in a granular way. But we were able to sit down with some of the most powerful officials in Iran and, you know, put these questions to them. And, you know, one of the takeaways for us was that, you know, there is still a kind of does an effort to really kind of preserve as much mystery as possible around the extent to which these strikes succeeded in destroying these underground sites. So, yeah, it's hard to get a kind of clear answer to that unless you actually have access to the sites in question. But what we can do is, the Post team, the visual forensics team, was able to construct 3D animations of what those underground chambers looked like and what the damage from the bombs likely did, and just kind of putting the pieces together from what you can see on satellite imagery and kind of running through those different scenarios is as close as we can get to kind of furthering the reporting here. So that was really the aim. We really wanted to kind of have an independent investigative approach to this story. And with this very rare access on the ground, the combination we think is significant.
833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or comment about the United States, working with Israel for this 12-day war against Iran. So Iran's narrative to you, you reported in your Frontline documentary, is like, this will not stop us. We will continue. Mm. And this really was not really much of a setback, but we're not building a bomb. It doesn't really make sense that they would put that much energy, effort, expense into just development of nuclear energy for passive use.
That's right. That's well put. I mean, that's the kind of two-sided nature of what you hear from these very high-level officials. I mean, we sat down with Ali Larijani, who is the secretary of the Supreme National Security Council in Iran, one of the most powerful officials in the country. And yeah, you're absolutely right. That's essentially how he summed things up, that, you know, we're not aiming to produce a nuclear weapon. That's never been something that he says that Iran has been trying to do. But at the same time, these actions are not going to set things back for us. Our nuclear program can never be destroyed. Those are the kinds of comments you hear from Iranian officials. And it does speak to this question: why, if Iran isn't developing a nuclear weapon, then why would they want to enrich uranium to levels of more than 60%, which make it a short step from weapons grade? And that has been the concern of the international community. We also sat down with the director general of the IAEA, the UN's nuclear watchdog, and, you know, discussed all of that with him as well. But that's really the question in everyone's mind. Why would Iran need to continue with that, want to continue with that program if there wasn't that the level of enriching uranium is far beyond what most peaceful nuclear programs would use. That's the concern from Rafael Grossi that you hear in the film. We interviewed him in Vienna at their headquarters, and it's you're right. That's really kind of at the heart of this.
Let's go to a caller, Jose. Jose, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, I have. Excuse me. I have a comment and a question, if I may. First off, the comment, I need to push back on the reporting here. First off, the reporting is coming from the Washington Post and Bellingcat. Bellingcat is not independent. It claims to be open source. It's not. It's funded by the CIA through the NED, which is, and it's probably still getting grants from the CIA. So I saw the first 15 minutes of the documentary, and the first thing one thing I observed was the complaints about them and the access or the lack of access how the reporters were complaining. Well, sort of like a complaint about the way they were shadowed throughout the visit. Now, my question to this gentleman is, who cares? about Iran's nuclear program. All right. I care about Israel's nuclear program. Why weren't they in Israel? Why weren't they in Dimona? Why weren't they asking or probing Israel's nuclear program? Israel is not a signee to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They don't want to admit that they have nuclear weapons. They are the danger, not Iran.
All right, Jose. So we got about a minute here. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the second part of the response. But Sebastian Walker, the first party said that you were complaining that you were being shadowed by the government there. I think you were being just transparent, but what were your reaction?
Yeah. We were just trying to be as transparent as we could with the viewer about the reporting conditions on the ground. I mean, I've reported from Iran several times, so I do have experience on this story, and it is challenging. It's a very unique reporting environment, and we just wanted to make sure that was obvious to people watching. This isn't something,
I mean, assuming you're transparent through the whole thing, we saw a lot behind the scenes about how this reporting was put together, the factors that went into it, the discussions with the editors. I found that all very important and informative. Okay, I'm going to take the break here. We'll come back. I want to get your response to Jose saying that Bellingcat is a CIA op. I don't know. And then what about Israel's nuclear program? We're going to hit those points, and our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're talking about the Frontline documentary, Strike on Iran, The Nuclear Question. It's available now on YouTube. The Source continues after this.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Partisan politics and news sources are everywhere, but not on TPR. We are an independent, local, nonprofit radio station. With federal support for public media gone, your contribution is more important than ever. We're proud to be here for you, and today, we need you to be here for us. Support the meaningful programming you count on. Make your year-end gift at tpr.org. Thank you for your support.
To The Source on Texas Public Radio. With me is Sebastian Walker. He is the reporter producer for a Frontline documentary that aired last night. It's now available for viewing for streaming and on YouTube at their Frontline YouTube channel. So let's pick up where we left off, Sebastian, about the with the question that Jose had. Bellingcat, not independent, a CIA operation.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's coming from. That's certainly not the case. My experience is with Bellingcat has been tremendously positive. It's not the first time I've worked with that organization. You know, they're very well regarded in the journalism community for the work that they do with open source investigations.
Against Russia, revealing what's happening there. They do a lot of great work. What about the Israel? They have their own nuclear program. Why isn't that a problem?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the point that the caller's making. I mean, that's something that was outside the remit of the story we were telling here. This was a very focused, linear investigation about these strikes and the impact inside Iran. That's really another story that the caller's mentioning, that would be a different kind of investigation. That wasn't our focus here. So, it's not just like, I understand the point being made, but it's not something that we were tasked with investigating in terms of the impact of the actions in June.
Well, Iran has been called one of the world's biggest state sponsors of terror in the world. And we've seen that there is a connection between Hamas and Iran. And I wonder about that context. Iran, apparently, according to the reporting, was aware of the Hamas attack that was happened on Israel that triggered the Gaza war. Is that important context to keep in mind about why this attack happened beyond this nuclear question? The way that they targeted these nuclear scientists, as you report in the documentary, mm-hmm. in the past it was done. These assassinations were done. They blow up a car. They mm-hmm. very targeted. But this was a huge flex in this attack. Was that part of this? Should we look at it in the context of Hamas?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That it's something that our partners at the Washington Post explored in the film. This kind of very different strategy that you saw with these June strikes, the assassinations of the scientists were kind of unprecedented in the scale and the weaponry that was used. The previous assassinations had been, very low-level, kind of complex, covert operations, believed to be done by Israel, but something that Israel hadn't often acknowledged. This was very different, right? Like Israel carrying out this wave of strikes on downtown Tehran, being very open about they termed it Operation Narnia. That's a fundamentally different approach than what we've seen before. And I think it does raise the question of what. Our partners at the Washington Post were kind of, investigating that and kind of what the difference in the weaponry used and what that says about the way that these assassinations were carried out. So I think that there is a larger kind of geopolitical context to this moment.
Including the Syria. There's a lot going on. Let me go to another caller, Keith. And Keith, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Keith, you're on the air. You sound great. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead,
Excellent.
Keith.
Thank you. I just want to say I appreciate the source and the work that you all do, and I very much appreciate this conversation. I certainly am not for Iran having nuclear weapons, but I've often wondered why it is that we as a nation have nuclear weapons, and we say, well, you can't, but you can. That's my question.
All right, Keith, I think that goes beyond the scope of Sebastian Walker's reporting. But how close was Iran towards getting the nuclear weapons? The Netanyahu is saying they were about to have nuclear weapons. We had to strike. Does that wash?
Yeah, I would point you to one of the conversations in the film with again, with Rafael Grossi, the director general of the IAEA. I mean, it's their job to monitor these programs and to make sure that countries are complying with the safeguards and systems that exist for keeping the non-proliferation order in check. So, while Grossi doesn't have evidence that Iran was actively developing a weapon, he was concerned about the amount of enriched uranium
right.
that Iran was stockpiling.
But they weren't on the cusp, at the threshold of having a nuclear weapon, but it's still, that's what we've been told. Your reporting puts everything in context, documents these things. We hear from the players directly. We see for ourselves what happens. Sebastian Walker, producer for Frontline, reporter for Strike on Iran, The Nuclear Questions, available for viewing on YouTube and on the PBS app. Sebastian, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.